WJCT in Jacksonville. This is our weekly news magazine and the news podcast of the First Coast. I'm your host, Vince Kong, and this is Redux. For the week ending in June 16th, on this program, we're going to revisit a continuing conversation here in Jacksonville, to dredge or not.
You'd have to believe that going to 45 feet or 47 feet would immediately make you successful.
The debate over deepening the St. John's River continues. Then, what do Montreal and Jacksonville have in common? Well, they're both port cities, and if this whole shipping thing doesn't work out, maybe we can learn a thing or two from our neighbors to the way north.
Over the last 5 to 10 years, they found a way to integrate the remaining industry with cultural uses and waterfront green space.
And also on the show, with Florida already legalizing some forms of medical marijuana, could a new treatment for pain aside from opioids be in the works?
The federal government needs to quit labeling marijuana as a Schedule I controlled substance.
And finally,
I mean, how many times have we heard about an event that happened last weekend or is this weekend, but we already made plans and we're trying to make that not an issue anymore?
Here's how to avoid this first world problem and more on this episode of Redux. One year ago this week, a gunman opened fire at Orlando's Pulse nightclub, killing 49 people. Young LGBT students at the University of North Florida joined school staff and counselors to reflect upon the tragedy. As WJCT's Ryan Bank reports, some students wondered what effect the massacre would have on young lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people who are just beginning to come into their own.
Why don't we go around to say your name and the gender pronouns that you use?
Around a couple dozen people crowded the LGBT Resource Center on UNF's campus. They introduced themselves before starting the difficult conversation. Economics student Chris Jordan says the center helped him feel more comfortable in his own skin.
For me personally, it means really everything. It's the reason that I chose University of North Florida for my studies. I would say it's the difference between feeling as though you can integrate into a community and can participate in that community fully versus feeling excluded.
Jordan says the sense of community on campus gave him the courage to start going to gay clubs like Pulse. For English major Troy Capers, the shooting punctuated a tumultuous year of self-discovery. According to a 2016 Gallup poll, millennials and the generation preceding it are the queerest generations on record. But at the same time, last year was also the deadliest year for LGBT people. Capers says that juxtaposition forced him to change.
Being confronted with an outpouring of hatred that is just completely inexcusable, I couldn't be neutral anymore. So I'm, building myself to be a person who can take action and a person who can be there for people.
Staff at the Resource Center say they'll be available for any students still having a difficult time processing the tragedy. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
Okay, right now, there are 14 shipping ports in Florida, one of which is in Jacksonville. That's Jacksport. And Florida ports have lost market share in the highly competitive shipping industry to southeastern states like Georgia and South Carolina. The stakes are high. All of the ports are competing for new jobs and potentially billions of dollars in investment. So this begs the question, if we spend the estimated $684 million to deepen the St. John's River, will that translate into more cargo, which means more jobs and more money flowing into Jacksport? New analysis on the River Channel deepening efforts suggests, well, maybe not. Dale Lewis is a former CSX executive. He was on WJCT's First Coast Connect to talk about his research on the full range of costs, opportunities, and risks associated with Jacksport's deepening project, which he presented recently at MIT.
So you'd have to believe a couple of things. One is you'd have to believe that going to 45 feet or 47 feet would immediately make you successful or make you dramatically more competitive. And what I know is that Charleston went from shallower than Savannah to deeper than Savannah 12 years ago. They have continued to lose market share from that point. So just having deep water doesn't do it. The other thing is the premise that if we don't become a large international container port, that the port will lose its value. We just started in the international business in 2009 for the Far East. Are we going to make the discretionary investment to try to make that the dominant part of what the port does?
And Lewis adds, if Jaxport indeed decides to go all in pursuing a larger share of the Far Eastern market, the benefits might not justify the cost. That is, depending on how you interpret the data.
The Corps says the Far Eastern trade will grow between 6 and 10% per year for about 10 years. It says the Puerto Rico trade won't grow, and then the other trades, South America, et cetera, would grow between 2 and 4%. When you blend all of that together, it gives you about a 3% growth rate overall. Jaxport says the same thing. So you'd think that the two forecasts would give you exactly the same number. Well, they don't. And the reason is that Jaxport says this money we're going to invest will fundamentally change our competitive position in the Southeast. So Jaxport's forecast is around 130% higher in terms of growth than the Corps' forecast.
Meanwhile, Jaxport officials maintain money spent on this project will be worth it. They're sticking to their position that a deeper river means more cargo coming through the port, which means more jobs and more money for the region. Jaxport spokeswoman Nancy Rubin had this to say on First Coast Connect.
The critics, yes, they've done research. They know what they know. Some have not ever been in the port business. They are not connected to the Asian container business today, nor do they have the latest information. This is a very fast-moving industry. Let's talk e-commerce. We all want to push the button and get our package the next day on our doorstep. That is changing how companies are distributing their goods, how they're moving their goods. Let's get our fair share.
Listen to the complete interviews with Dale Lewis and Nancy Rubin on the Redux page at wjctnews.org. Also subscribe to the First Coast Connect podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, sprinkled throughout this show will be comments from you, our listeners.
I live on a little inlet right off Trout River. Every time they dredge in the river, I lose about 6 inches of water at low tide. You know, I mean, I bought my house because it's on the water. Now it's only on the water about 17, 18 hours out of the day. Losing property value just because somebody wants to make the river deeper. And it sounds like there's no real economic benefit to it.
That was one of our callers, Scott from St. Johns County, weighing in on deepening the St. Johns River. Jacksonville can learn a thing or two about revitalizing its downtown from this northern city with similar characteristics, including what else can be done with its shipping port. In this week's Business Brief, Modern City's co-founder Ennis Davis tells WJCT News Director Jessica Plumbo what ideas he saw in action on his recent trip to Montreal.
So Ennis, you were in Montreal for something called an unconference.
And the reason it's called an unconference is this event is not held within a convention center or a room. You're actually out and exploring all parts and facets of the city that you're in.
What is the biggest similarity between Montreal and Jacksonville?
So even though Montreal is much larger than Jacksonville in terms of scale, there are some applicable lessons that we can learn. One of those things that really stood out to me was what the city has done to activate their downtown waterfront. Similar to Jacksonville's waterfront, it was once an area of industry and commerce. And over the last 5 to 10 years, they found a way to integrate the remaining industry with cultural uses and waterfront green space. And then another thing that stood out was the old core of the city, which is known as Old Montreal, 5 years ago was a pretty vacant place, pretty quiet at nights and weekends. And the way that area was revitalized was through night lighting and enhancements to local infrastructure and building stock. So at night, there's everything from laser shows on the sides of existing buildings to uplighting of architectural features to even lighting up the bridges.
So do we see anything similar happening in Jacksonville's downtown?
Recently, there have been some similar discussion about using light to activate certain areas of the waterfront. That's a project being worked on by the local chapter of the American Institute of Architects. They're working with Councilwoman Lori Boyer.
What did you see there that you thought was the coolest thing that Jacksonville could learn from Montreal?
What really stood out to me in Montreal was how they have embraced the shared economy. And what I mean by shared economy is we have several things that aren't used on a 24/7 basis. And in Montreal, what stood out to me was even when the colleges closed during the summers, they transitioned into hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Even religious structures, through the use of light and laser light shows, they become their own local attractions that attract people when services aren't taking place.
Sure.
And another thing that stood out about the city was finding affordable ways to bring life to spots that you would traditionally consider to be dead spots. For example, there were streets where what would be considered a grass median, they were activated simply with swings. And it was actually pretty amazing to see office workers during the lunch breaks cross a 4-lane highway into the median and hop on a set of swings and swing their stress away.
One other way Montreal and Jacksonville are similar is that they've both gone through a consolidation with the surrounding suburbs, right? So what happened there?
In Montreal's case, in the early 2000s, 21 municipalities consolidated together to form, you know, this one city. After a few years, it was determined through residents' negative feedback that it wasn't a good thing because several of the communities felt they lost their sense of place and representation. As a result, the city was deconsolidated into 15 different municipalities. So for Montreal, it's just an example of if you do something and you make a mistake, go ahead and admit it, change, and move on to make your community a better place.
That's Ennis Davis, a co-founder of Modern Cities. That's at moderncities.com. He just got back from Montreal, where he was at Next Cities Vanguard Conference. I'm WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo.
WJCT is proud to announce a brand new special summer program called Hotsy Totsy, where we'll be playing the popular music from the 20s and 30s from original 78s. Join us Sunday nights at 9 p.m. for Hotsy Totsy all summer long on 89.9 FM and the WJCT app.
Yes, I've got myself a brand new Totsy. I'm a Hotsy and she's my Totsy, so everything is
hot. Here's an update to one of our previous stories. Florida lawmakers last week approved rules for the expanded use of medical marijuana, and patients could soon start treatment. The new law restricts the use of fully psychoactive marijuana to treat only severe conditions like HIV or cancer. And as WJCT's Ryan Bank reports, it also invests public money in researching the potential for treating other ailments.
A caller to WJCT's First Coast Connect Wednesday wondered whether medical marijuana would be a safer alternative to opioids for treating pain. Guest Bill Gulliford, a Jacksonville City Councilman, said reducing opioid prescribing could be a heavy lift.
We know the political reality of the strength of lobbyists, and especially ones that are well-funded. And you know the pharmaceuticals are very well-funded, and surely they have what I would deem to be a negative impact in the process at the state level.
Around the world, researchers are beginning to explore marijuana as a drug addiction treatment, as CNN reports. For now, Florida's latest expansion allows treatment of serious diseases like cancer. But Orange Park Republican Senator Rob Bradley, who sponsored the bill, says that could change.
Does it work in other areas like addiction treatment? We need more research, and we need to fund that research. And the federal government needs to quit labeling marijuana as a Schedule I controlled substance, because that's completely inconsistent with the definition of what a Schedule I controlled substance should be, because we know that it has medicinal value.
The law allocates $750,000 to Tampa's Moffitt Cancer Center to create the Coalition for Medicinal Cannabis Research and Education. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
We'll be right back. And finally, the city's tourism marketer, Visit Jacksonville, now has an official mobile app to help the millions of people who visit each year figure out what to do and where to go when they're in town. It's called Intogo, that's I-N-T-O-G-O, and it's the creation of 2015 OneSpark winner Zachary Schwartz. Schwartz says the app puts everything from parks and playgrounds to shops and restaurants right at the user's fingertips, and its interface is much like a certain popular dating app I'm sure most of you don't know anything about.
The interface sort of looks like the Tinder dating app, but it's completely different. They're looking at people, we're looking at fun things to do. Now, the really cool part about this is the machine learning of it is similar to Pandora, the music service. Now, we've all heard Pandora and how it plays good songs for us. Wouldn't it be cool if there was a directory that learned your interest for food and dining and events and that you had kids and then it knew what to show you whenever you opened it? It's already live. It's called Intogo.
Schwartz says Intogo covers Northeast Florida from Amelia Island south to St. Augustine and west to McLennan, and its features are ever-evolving.
We built the largest and most detailed database of fun things to do in the history of Jacksonville, and we gave it right back to the community for free. You can see all the sports schedules to all the biggest teams in town and actually buy tickets to the games. You can see all the local events, and we have something really amazing we're getting ready to do with the events. We're going to sort them by top 20 this week, this weekend, and this month. So that way it's just really easy to find all the local events. I mean, how many times have we heard about an event that happened last weekend or is this weekend, but we already made plans, and we're trying to make that not an issue anymore.
The Intogo app is available for Apple and Android devices and can be downloaded from the Visit Jacksonville website. And that's our show. You can find all of our audio and web stories at wjctnews.org. You can also stream this podcast as well as all of our on-air content on the WJCT app, which is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. And of course, find us on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe. I'm Vince Kong, and thank you for listening.